Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Overcoming Your Emotional Eating. In order to really change, we need to move forward from things that disturb or destroy us. We get so often hung up in patterns that repeat themselves, that don't elevate us to a higher level, that don't move us away from things that hurt us, whether that be the TV or food or other aspects or addictions. How do you move away from your food? That's the topic of today's podcast. Take a listen. You can also take a look at my website, www.wendyfrancis.com. Got a new online journey called E3, End Your Emotional Eating. It's a way that you can, by yourself, with yourself, for yourself, help yourself change in the arena of your relationship with your food. Take a look and take a listen to today's podcast. Thanks so much.
Excellent. So thank you for joining me. And I love talking about various topics, as I guess you've heard. But in particular, I think as I've gotten older, I've recognized more and more the importance of what I'm going to talk about tonight in many constructs. So whether you want to think about tonight's topic as a food topic, or as a relationship with your food, or as a relationship with your body or yourself, or maybe you think about it personally, career-wise, or maybe relationally. There's lots of different ways you could think about this topic. Obviously, in working with food and food psychology so much, I bring everything around back to our relationship with our food, because I really believe and know that our relationship with our food and our body is congruent to our relationships in life. There is a definitive link. So when we talk about moving forward from your food, I am really understanding more as I get older that we so easily get stuck as human beings. Not so much when we're children or when we're adolescents, because adolescents move kind of quick, although they can get stuck in patterns too. But I find more so for adults that we tend to get stuck much more and need much more the understanding and cohesion and fortitude that it takes to move forward, to leave things in the past. When I worked so much with adolescents, I didn't think about this topic that much, because I do feel like, although I worked with adolescents that were stuck in a pattern with their food, that their reality is their relationships in other parts or their patterns in other parts of their life weren't necessarily stuck, because things were ever changing, which is part of why it gets so stuck in adolescents around food and weight, with the respect of anorexia or bulimia. But as we get older, I recognize that we so often get stuck and get stuck in a relationship or maybe a rut with our food, right? They call it a rut with our food. Maybe a relationship with our body. Many, many of us walk around disliking our body. Okay. We might call it body hatred if it's really intense. So having that relationship with your body, we can get stuck in that. So even if we change our body, we're still stuck in the old mindset that we hate it. There isn't a condoning of it. There isn't a loving of it. That's a whole other journey for many people, realistically. And it doesn't always relate to how you look. I've worked with people that look amazing. I remember so many of my clients that I worked with and were honored to work with were gorgeous. I mean, they'd walk in my office and, people would be like, gosh, who is that? Is that she a model? And they were just young girls, and they were in a lot of pain emotionally, and they looked amazing externally, and they hated their body so much. And so they were, in fact, stuck in that way. And the reality is that, you know, we do get stuck, and we have to learn to move forward. Roy T. Bennett said, accept yourself, love yourself, and keep moving forward if you want to fly. You have to give up what weighs you down. Really important, right? Because we can't fly if we're being weighed down. There is no way. And we all need that flight to move forward. And we never think about that realistically. A lot of times we don't even know we're stuck. Many people I've worked with don't recognize that they're stuck in their relationship with their food, or they're stuck in a food rut or how they're eating. Or I'll tell you even more so what I recognize is we don't realize how much we walk around in our country, in our culture, with body hatred, with the inability to love our body, or maybe even to love other people's body, unless we are looking at those models on the runway or those people that we see up on stage. And there are ways that we can move forward. There are real clear distinctions about moving forward. And it's so important that you recognize that if you're ready to move forward, you've got to recognize that, understand it, and then you've got to actually take steps to do it, because it doesn't just happen. I know some people can kind of go cold turkey, right? You hear that with people that have quit smoking, or for some people, abstinence, right, when it comes to drinking. And that's their way of moving forward. But the reality is, and we know this about addiction, is that if you just drop the habit, so to speak, or the behavior, and you don't change yourself inside, you will, in fact, go back to that substance. And I know our relationship with our food and our body can be an addictive pattern. We can be in what we call a critical addiction. So we are used to criticizing ourselves. We are used to criticizing our body. We're used to criticizing how we eat, what we eat, where we ate it, why we ate it. Was it too much? Was it too little? Did it have it too much fat? Did it have too many carbohydrates? That hypercritical aspect of ourselves comes out in our food, and man, does it come out in our body, right? How many people can relate to saying things about your body over and over? Oh, I hate this about this. Oh, I want to change that. Oh, I wish it were this way, right? And we get stuck in this hypercritical relationship with our body, with ourself, with our food, and we don't know we're stuck. And when you recognize it, it's time to move on. And the reality is you can. You just have to know how to do it. So if you're ready to move forward from something in your life, there's a few things you can do to help you. One, and first and foremost, right, you always have to acknowledge what you've done. I realistically believe that you have to acknowledge it in a formal fashion. So if it's with yourself, right, that might be using a journal and writing to yourself what you've done. Here's what I've done. I've used food in these ways. I've used criticism of my body and myself in these ways. And I'm going to let it go today. There's something very freeing about that. Interestingly enough, I had an experience, I think it was this weekend. It was either Friday or Saturday. where there was a woman who reached out to me, and honestly, I figured it out. It was about 13 years ago that there was an incident that happened between my daughter and her daughter, and they were four. Both of these little girls, cuties, were 4 years old, and they had gotten in a fight on her swing set, these 2 4-year-olds, and I was up the road because she was watching my daughter, and they got in a fight, if I remember the events correctly, and one said something to the other, and then the other threw the swing at the other. You know how this goes, right, with four-year-olds. And I guess she was witnessing it from her porch and came down and screamed at my daughter, like guns a-blazing, screamed. I ran down the block. I didn't know what was happening. She was screaming at my daughter. My girlfriend took my daughter home, and then she proceeded to scream at me, full on in my face. I walked away shaking and visibly upset, and went home to console my daughter. Interestingly enough, here's why I'm telling you this story. Interestingly enough, I got a Facebook message from this woman. And I give her so many kudos. 13 years later, she writes, "Wendy, I think about that day often, and I want to let you know I am sorry. I acknowledge that I was wrong. I acknowledge that I should have shown your daughter empathy and kindness in the way that a child should have been taught in that moment, and I did not do that. And for that, I want to apologize." And I thought, wow, 13 years later, she acknowledged it. I give her kudos. Not many people would remember that. I remembered it because it was really traumatic for me to watch somebody, an adult, come after my daughter. And in fact, my daughter still remembers the incident. But what an amazing thing for her to come around and actually acknowledge what she did. And in that, I could acknowledge back to her, "Hey, I hear you, I see you, and I appreciate that. And now let's just let it go. And thank you so much." And so the reality is we need to learn to do that with ourselves. I don't know many adults that do that with others. I give her so much benefit for doing that. And I know and recognize that I've done that some in journals with myself. But recognizing that, acknowledging what we've done with ourselves, to ourselves, by ourselves, for ourselves, and then letting it go. And for some people, that can move into putting it as a ritual, right? You write down everything. I mean, this is something we do in eating disorder recovery is, you know, what have you done to yourself? They do it some in addiction recovery too. And then either ripping it up, lighting it on fire, whatever that is, right? Making a ritual of letting that go. When you recognize what you've had to want to clear, then you need to ask for support from a couple of trusted people. Hey, here's the deal, right? And I only say a couple because they really have to be those tried and true, you know, ride or die chicks or men, right, in your life that will really come around you when you really ask for support and say, "Hey, I'm trying to change this and I need your support." If you hear me say something negative about my body, if you see me being hypercritical with my food, will you call me out on it lovingly? Here's what I want you to say to me. So you would ask for support from others. And then thirdly, go back to being with yourself. Here's what's really important, and I did this all the time in my practice, and it by far was one of the best things I feel like I ever did with clients, because it taught me so much about a client and it taught them so much about themselves. So here's what you would do. If you currently use food or have a negative relationship with your body, right now, recognize why you do what you do. There is a positive. So many people will say, "Well, I overeat and that made me gain weight." There is no reason why. I know I shouldn't do it. And I'll go, oh, contraire. You do it for a reason. You didn't do it to gain weight. There is nobody I know that overeats or doesn't take care of their body or their health because they want to gain weight. Nobody goes into it with that intention unless somebody is a bodybuilder and they're in a weight gain pattern, or they're an actor and they have to gain weight for a role. But nobody goes into the relationship with food going, oh, I think I want to overeat for a while so that I gain weight because that sounds really good. No, no, no. We use food for a reason and a purpose. And you've got to find that out. You've got to find out the pro, right? If you look at pro and con, you've got to find out the positive. Why did you use it? What was the intention of it? What did it help you with? Did it help you get through a trying time? Did it help release pressure when you didn't have another way to do it? Did it keep you safe from stress? Did it keep you safe from intimacy or connection? Did it keep you safe from love because you were scared? Those are real intentions to use food, no doubt. If you're in a negative relationship with your body, what does that keep you safe from? What if your light of your body really did shine so bright that people would look at you and say, gosh, she looks great? What if that happened? And if that happened for you, what would you be afraid would happen from that? See, we do everything for a reason. We are really smart people. So what was the reason why you did it? And then fourth, and I have done so many calls on this now, I'm not going to go into it too in depth, but understand your why for making the change, right? So once you understand why you did it, then you have to understand why you're changing. So if you're ready to break through those obstacles or walls, right? If you're ready to actually have a loving relationship with yourself, because that's going to impact how you are with other people. If you're ready to change, then why? Why are you ready to change? And you need to write that down in that same journal, because I'll tell you more and more and more, I recognize one, nobody really finds the why, right? We talked about that a lot. And I think that's going to be the crux of what I'd like to teach more of in the future, because we just don't think about that. And I'll tell you, when times are tough, man, you've got to hold that why so tight, because that's the thing that's usually ripped from us first when we're trying to make change. And it's the thing we got to hold on to. Number five, then, get support from yourself in and around your environment. So once you know what you're going to change, once you've cleared it out, once you've figured out the positive intention of it and your why for change, then in and around your environment, start to put positive things. What are those things that you want around you, right? Whether it's new pictures, new screensavers on your computer, new books around you, new audibles around you, new podcasts to listen to, right? New bracelet to wear to remind you. Whatever that is, right? Get some things in your environment to anchor to. They will provide that grounded support as you move forward. And number six, practice moving forward every single day. Look for things like joy, love, and gratitude. I'm reading this really intense book, Dr. Joe Dispenza. He has a book out there called Breaking the Bad Habit of Being Yourself, but I'm actually not reading that one. I'm reading another one by him, more because there's a lot more science to this one, I believe. I didn't read that one, so maybe I shouldn't say that. But he's got an amazing book out there called Becoming Supernatural, which I know sounds, you know, maybe a broad statement, but it has amazing amount of scientific research in there talking about how brain scans really change when we're in joy or when we're in love or when we're in feelings of gratitude, and how much research he's done and worked with students who have done very intense meditative practices and really gone very deep in emotions and deep into feelings of joy and love and gratitude, and how their brains have changed, their brain chemistry has changed, their body chemistry has changed. It's pretty astounding. I'm only halfway through the book. I need to re-listen to two chapters because it went over my head, but I'll catch it on the second round. But really, really amazing things, and it's how we can rewire our brains and actually move forward. You see, we all have the capacity to change. We're not ever really stuck unless we're just stuck in our mind. We all have the ability to let go, move forward, and move on in order to become the greatness that we were all destined to be.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.